Whether you are new to the living healthy lifestyle or a healthy living veteran, this is the place for the honest answers to your questions. Naturally Savvy with registered holistic nutritionist Andrea Donsky and health journalist Lisa Davis on RadioMD.com.
When I was 13, my mother ended up with a full body rash and went from doctor to doctor, and she had fatigue and other symptoms, and they couldn't figure it out. This was in the 1980s, and eventually they figured out that she had something called candida. So I'm so glad, and Andrea is so glad as well, to have Ricky Heller on this show. She is the author of a fantastic book, The Anti-Candida Diet, and Ricky's here now to share some great information with us. Hi, Ricky.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
I'm so glad to have you on. I wish my mother had had this book.
I think
it is such a great book. And again, in the 1980s, there really wasn't a lot of talk about candida, was there?
No, I'm actually surprised that she got diagnosed. I should just quickly mention the book is called Living Candida Free.
I apologize.
That's okay. And it is, and it does mention an anti-candida diet, of course. But yeah, I think, you know, I was first diagnosed in 1999, and at that point, it was a new and weird and almost unheard of syndrome. So it's actually terrific that she was diagnosed.
You know what, let's start out for those who are listening, because this is actually a very interesting topic and something I'm going to get into in a minute. But let's start out for those who are listening who don't understand what candida is. Can you just give them a quick definition?
Sure. So candida is a form of yeast or fungus, and it's naturally it lives naturally in the body in harmony with everything else, and it exists in the intestinal tract primarily, but it's also on your skin and all mucous membranes. And when things are in balance and in a healthy body, we don't even notice it. It's like all the other germs and bacteria that live in and on us all the time. But if something happens to upset that balance, then candida is really sort of the biggest opportunist of them all, and it will immediately begin to overgrow the way dandelions do on a lawn. And once it does grow out of control and it's not kept in check anymore, that's when you can start to have all of these consequences, all these symptoms that can really expand throughout the entire body.
You know, what's so interesting, Ricky, is I just came back from Natural Products Expo West, the big trade show in California, and the woman I was rooming with was telling me that she had been suffering from candida for probably 6 years. And
Wow. Nobody
had diagnosed her, and what it was manifesting at was muscle pain. And she was having such debilitating muscle pain, she couldn't get out of bed. She was sleeping like crazy amount of hours. And she said that she was in so much pain she couldn't do anything until finally she met a doctor who said, it's yeast. And as soon as she started the yeast protocol, her muscle pain disappeared overnight.
Wow. And, you know, I think that's not an unusual story. The thing is, it's one of these elusive syndromes that can manifest in so many different ways, sort of like Lyme disease, right? You have these vague chronic symptoms, and everyone says, well, your tests come back okay, because I think conventional doctors are not trained to look for this kind of syndrome. They're looking for, you know, are your bloods within normal parameters? If they're in what's considered normal parameters, no matter what your symptoms, they consider you to be okay. And so I think a lot of people are walking around with these kinds of symptoms, and until someone pinpoints it like that, unfortunately, people are walking around suffering. And it's just incredible to me how quickly you can see a response when you do apply the diet or the supplements or just the change of lifestyle.
Well, talk to us about the diet.
Sure. So the diet, I mean, basically, because as I said, it's a form of yeast. And the thing about candida is it has two forms. It has the benign yeast form, and it has the sort of evil fungal form. And it can convert from one to the other once it's permitted to grow beyond a certain level. So once you're dealing with the fungal form, what that can do is burrow into the intestinal tract and create all kinds of havoc. So the diet is designed to either kill off the excess yeast, and that's our primary concern at the beginning, but it's also designed to prevent it from feeding so that you can't get to that overgrowth stage again. And at the same time, you're eating foods that will not stress your immune system, because your immune system has to be able to focus on the yeast. So antifungal foods, things like garlic, which is, it's not only antifungal, but it's also antimicrobial. One of the big ones is coconut oil, which contains caprylic acid and lauric acid, and those are both natural antifungals. So basically any food that's naturally antifungal or can combat yeast, those are big on the diet. And also you're going to cut out foods that would feed it or that would stress your immunity. So highly allergenic foods are not allowed either.
So, Ricky, how would somebody get diagnosed if they, you know, for example, like my friend who took 6 years for a doctor to actually say that's what it was? Are there any blood tests? Are there any kind of tests that people can get to, if, you know, to spare them those 6 years or years of agony?
Yeah, well, the first thing I would say is, and it's unfortunate this is the case, but most conventional doctors or allopathic doctors are not the right place to diagnose this kind of candida because they don't recognize it as a syndrome. So if you can get yourself to a functional medicine doctor, and I know you guys in the U.S. are so lucky that you have so many of these kinds of physicians popping up and clinics. There's, I believe that Cleveland Clinic now has a functional medicine arm. So there are all kinds of places where you can get tested by people who are knowledgeable about this kind of systemic candida. So, yes, from what I understand, there's a blood test, there's a stool test, there's a saliva test, and a urine test. So basically, all of your bodily fluids and excretions are the things you want to test. And what they look for are excessive amounts of candida. So because of that, it's not 100% accurate anyway, since we all do have some candida. And apparently, after a certain point, it can also hide in the tissue. So if a doctor says, well, your stool sample doesn't show excessive candida, it doesn't necessarily mean that you don't have it in the body. It just means it's not being visible in the stool. It's not coming out of the body. So one of the things that alternative practitioners do more often than not is a questionnaire-type assessment, where a clinical assessment where they'll talk to the person and ask about their history, because there's so many environmental factors and personal factors that feed into whether or not you're susceptible. And these questionnaires can be quite long and extensive. And then based on that, you're going to be given a score of whether there's a likelihood that you do have candida, and if so, what level of severity is the candida.
Now, I understand that sugar is a big issue, and not just sugar, but white flour foods, anything that's going to break down quickly, raise your insulin, that those need to be avoided as well. That's correct.
Absolutely. Number one thing to avoid, yeah. I mean, even if you suspect you might have candida, and sugar cravings are a big symptom of this as well. So if you're in that situation, that's the absolute first thing you want to cut out. White sugar, you know, white anything, basically. There's one kind of white potato that's allowed, the red-skinned ones, because they're lower starch. But other potatoes, white rice, white flour, definitely white sugar, those things, as you said, they break down so quickly in the body to glucose, and that's what is going to feed the candida. So, but there are
There's different stages. Yeah, there's different stages, correct, in your book that talk about, like, if you're severely have candida really seriously, and then as you get better, you can add things back in, correct?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I went on this diet in 2009 for the second time. And, you know, right now, of course, I eat very differently from the way I did at the very beginning, when I didn't eat fruit at all except for lemon, lime, and cranberries for maybe a year, I think. A little bit less. But it was a year before I had brought back some fruit. And certain things for me personally, because mine was a pretty bad case, and I find it will flare if I eat really sweet fruits, like dried dates. They're the fruit with the highest sugar content of all fruits. So I can have one or two infrequently, but I certainly can't eat, you know, on a daily basis, have dates as a snack or something like that.
Hmm. Yeah, you know, I actually have a pretty low candida diet. I mean, for lunch, I had some grass-fed skirt steak and some mixed greens and a very small yam and some avocado. And I just feel better when I eat that way. So it just makes a big difference. Well, tell us where we can get the book and where we can learn more about you.
Sure. So the book is available everywhere. Books are sold, as they say. So it's on Amazon, it's on Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, all the online vendors and your local bookstore. And if they don't have it, please ask them to carry it. And I'm at rickiheller.com. So it's R-I-C-K-I, Heller, H-E-L-L-E-R.com. That's my blog. And basically on all social media, you can find me under my name as well.
Well, Ricky, I just want to thank you so much. This is going to help so many people. I want to thank everyone for listening. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Your Radio MD and at Naturally Savvy. I hope you all have a great day and stay well.